pray for him. Lord Jesus, we thank you today, the day you have made. We'll be glad and rejoice in it. Amen. We just pray you bless us with this time as you share your word with us through your servant. You bless him and bless all of us. Have open heart, teachable heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's great to be back again. There's a place to take notes, if you like, in the bulletin. And otherwise, we'll go along with the outline up front. Hang on to that text there in the bulletin, the 2 Timothy passage. We'll get to that. I don't know about you and what your childhood was like. There were a few kids I didn't like hanging around with. I remember this one kid. Anybody that sat next to him knew he was right next to you. He did not bathe very well. And he must have had autism or something like that because he didn't fit in with the other students. And so there were a lot of kids making fun of him. Who were the people that you didn't like to hang out with? What were the situations, social settings that you found yourself in that maybe you thought, I hate these people. Don't like being around this. One very poignant situation for me was when I was about 10 or 11 years of age. My mother had divorced my father when I was around 3 to 4 years of age. And she had a new husband. This was my stepdad, Bob. I tolerated Bob around the house, but what was really bad was those weekends when he would invite some of his friends over. You see, Bob smoked. My mother didn't smoke, and for all I knew, she didn't drink, and it was a big deal for me as a 10 or 11-year-old. I equated following Jesus closely with not smoking and not getting drunk for sure. And if there was alcohol around the house, I was really, really upset. I had this very boxed-in idea of what was right and what was wrong. My mother wasn't a follower of Jesus, but it was really uncomfortable for me when friends of my stepdad would come over. In the morning, we'd discover pizza crusts all over the house, which was kind of fun. Leftover uneaten food, we got to eat. And then there were cigarette butts everywhere and spilled drinks and open cans and it smelled of smoke. Didn't want to come out of my bedroom. But what really irked me the most was when my brother David, of two years younger than I, as my stepdad's friends were coming over to the house, he was joking with them, playing cards with them, talking with them, getting them something to drink. And it really, really bugged me that my brother was having so much fun and being so nice to these people. All I could do is put a frown and a grumpy face on and grumble and look miserable in hopes of them turning toward the love of Jesus. Didn't really work. I'd like to talk about what holiness is. We have a hint of it in that 2 Timothy passage we'll look at in just a moment. But I want to turn toward Luke chapter 15. It's that famous portion of Scripture where Jesus is teaching about three lost things. There's the lost coin, the lost sheep, and the lost son. Otherwise known as the prodigal son. The parable of the prodigal son. I want to pick up Luke chapter 15, verse 1, if we could first. And if you happen to have a Bible and don't want to follow on along here, you're welcome to follow it with your own Bible. But verse 1 reads, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.' So he told them this parable. Then he goes on to tell the parable of the lost coin, the second parable of the lost sheep, and then we'll pick it up with the parable of the lost son, the prodigal son. The first group of people I want to talk about are the grumblers. Holiness and the grumblers. We've just seen them in the first three verses. These were the Pharisees and the scribes. These were the guys that were super religious. They were the Bible-believing people of the time. And they were really upset with Jesus, who seems to be talking God talk. He's hanging around sinners and tax collectors. And as you know, a tax collector was really worse than a sinner, a non-Jew, or a Jew that isn't visiting the temple. A tax collector is a Jewish person who's telling the Romans who has money. Then taking some of that and putting it in their own pocket. The more they tax, the more they get. Ooh! A turncoat. So Jesus is hanging out with these sorts of people. He not only receives them, but he eats with them. Which is a way of fellowshipping with another person in this culture. See, for those who are grumblers, holiness is vulnerable to infection from others. Your holiness just might get infected by other people. And holiness also makes you a grumbler and a judge of others. Now, granted, the scriptures talk about being careful who you hang out with. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says, don't be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Get that? Bad company ruins good morals. But what is it talking about there? In the context, it's about eating, drinking, being merry in the face of a meaningless life because the resurrection of Jesus didn't happen. So let's just party, get drunk, escape. It's about that mindset. And if you take on that mindset around people that are influencing you that way, I think that's the point. Because Paul, in that same book, says, I wrote you in my letter not to associate with such sexually immoral people. Boy, that's a problem. Can you imagine not associating with sexually immoral people at work, in your neighborhood, some of your family members? Oh, but he goes on. He says, not at all meaning the sexually immoral of this world. Oh, or the greedy, the swindlers, or idolaters. Since then, you would need to go out of this world. Stay in the world, but don't be of it. In the world, but not of it is a good way of putting it. So, these holiness grumblers don't have that mindset. They are afraid that their holiness is going to get infected and ruined. Then we move on to holiness and the younger son as we get into the parable itself. Jumping down to verse 11. And he said, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. This is the worst thing a Jewish son could say to his dad. He's basically saying, Dad, I don't want to wait around till you're dead. You're as good as dead now. Please give me what I have coming. Not a very good, respectful thing for an Eastern culture, is it? So his father divides his property between them. He had probably had to liquidate some assets, sell off some of the property, and give his younger son a portion. Now, this is the younger son usurping the older son and disking the dad. Not a good thing. Worst possible sinner here. Really a scumbag is what Jesus is picking out. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had, took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. Notice, it's just reckless living, not specific about what that was. When he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country. He began to be in need, And as we continue with the familiar parable, so he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country who sent him into his fields to feed what? Pigs! Oh boy, forbidden animal for a Jew. Not good. Not good. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate. The pig slop. You know, pigs will eat almost anything. They'll even eat spam, which is pig. We lived in Hawaii. Spam was popular. No criticism of spam. He was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I will perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father. I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.'" How does he view holiness? What is holiness about? To be close to God. As you probably have already figured, the characters in this parable are the characters Jesus is talking to. The younger son are the sinners and tax collectors. As we'll see, the older son is, they are the religious folk, the Pharisees and the scribes. And the father is the heavenly father. And Christ values what the father values. So, "I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants." So what's his agenda for how you get holy? How you hang out with God? How you get close to the Father? Holiness, for him initially, is not an issue at all. He's just plain immoral. His approach is get as far from it as possible. But then he has a change of heart, and he now sees holiness as not an option. At first it wasn't an issue. Now he can't even approach it if he wanted to. He's too messed up. He's been polluted. So he's got to earn the favor of the Father. So holiness for him is nose to the grindstone. I'll just be one of your servants. Throw a few scraps my way just so I can stay alive. I don't even think I can approach you. I've really blown it. Do you know people who feel like they've really blown it? They've turned a corner in their lives. Maybe it's a divorce. Maybe it's being let go from a job. Maybe it's a disgraceful background or family. Maybe it's something that they are ashamed of. We sang about shame, that Christ is risen. Come awake, come awake. Starts that song with issues of shame. He doesn't think holiness is really something he can aspire to. It's not even an option. I'll just be a servant. And then there's holiness in the father, in his response, and we're going to revisit the dad, because he has a response to each of the two sons. "And he arose and came to his father, but while he's still a long way off," you've got to get the points here. The points are amazing here. "He's still a long way off. His father notices his coming." Yeah, there it is. "His father saw him and felt compassion." These are two amazing verbs here. Saw him. What does that mean the father's been doing? Looking. Searching. The two previous parables, they're searching for a coin and looking for the lost sheep. And here's the dad looking for that lost son. And he's got compassion for him. He's not got a list of to-dos that he's got to live up to before he'll be accepted. He is compassionate. His heart aches for his son. And he runs. This is not something a good Jewish man does. Did you know? In the Jewish temple, when there were steps to walk up, you had to have a long enough robe so that none of the male leg was shown. That was a disgrace. Here's a man running with, he doesn't have Nikes, definitely doesn't have New Balance. He's running toward his son. This is disgraceful. Not a respectful man of his stature, running toward his son, embraces him and kisses him. How many of us have been kissed by our father? This isn't an Eastern thing to do. This is an Eastern culture. He kisses him. And the son says to him his plan, speech. He's got his strategy. Here's how I'm proposing I can be close to you. Holiness ain't an option, but I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Here's what I propose. Just make me a hired hand. And before he can even finish, the father says, bring quickly the best robe. He's obviously disheveled. He's not dressed well. Get the best outfit we got. Take him down to the tailor. Measure him. Put on an excellent suit. And put on him the ring, the signet ring of the family. Do you know what the signet ring was? It had the emblem of the family, and you would stick it in wax or clay, and that's how you would write a check on the family fortune. This is shocking! This is shocking! He's given him his share, and now he's given him more? This is the guy who's smoking and drinking and carousing and... put shoes on his feet, a disgrace not to have shoes. And then he says, bring the fattened calf. What's the fattened calf? You know, it's that calf they keep feeding all that extra food to because someday they're going to have a reason to have a party. And he says, this is the reason. And my son was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. That's not the story's end yet. Now we see that holiness for the father is a restored gift of a relationship. It's a restored gift. It's not something the son can earn. It's a gift that the father gives. Do you know holiness in Christ is a gift? It's clothing we put on when we put on Christ. When God looks at us, he sees the perfection of Christ because he sees we are wearing him. It's a gift. God declares us holy, and then behavior changes. He's got it backwards. I've got to change my act so I can somehow, I can't be holy, but at least I can hang out. And now we have the older son, and this is the story of the scribes and the Pharisees. You know, this story is also about the scribes and the Pharisees. It's not just about the lost son. And it's about how they view holiness as well. Now his older son was in the field and he came and drew near to the house. He heard music and dancing. Kind of like me. You know, 10-year-old, 11-year-old Tommy. When I hear music, laughing, he called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. Doesn't even want to go check it out. What's up? Come on, tell me what's up. Get my little sister, Ann, go out there and find out what's happening. That's what I used to do. He said to him, your brother has come, your father has killed a fattened calf because he's received him back safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. Look at this father. He is a pursuer. He pursues the older religious, holy son, too. And here's what the son says. Look, these many years I've served you. I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. What a loaded safe statement. Ironically enough, his solution to holiness is exactly the same as the younger son's. I'll just serve a lot. I will meet God's needs and then he'll accept me. The younger son is immoral. The older son is moral. They're both servants and God does not want another servant. He's got enough. He can do it himself. Scripture tells us God is not served by human hands as if he had a need that we can fulfill with our righteousness or with our turning over a good and new leaf. And notice, his heart is in the far country also. He says, I wish I could have a little goat that I can celebrate with you, Dad. No, with my friends. His heart is far from the Father. He doesn't even like hanging out with his dad. He would rather hang out with his friends. But when this son of yours, not my brother, not his name, but this son of yours, he's your son. How many times in divorce context do you hear that situation? Or even not so divorced, when there's two parents, you know, divorced parents. He's your son, you deal with it. Well, he's upset. I want to distance. He's devoured your property with prostitutes. Let me ask you, where were prostitutes mentioned? Reckless living is all I saw. Squandering money is all I heard. Prostitutes? Where'd that come from? Talk about a Freudian slip. What is on his mind? His heart, his mind are hanging out with his friends. Maybe check out a few prostitutes. His brother had the guts to do what he did not want. He wanted to do. He didn't have the guts to do it. And he resents him for it. He's having so much fun. I resent those people having so much fun. Don't they know about God? Come on. Got to love on them. Back to Jesus. And you've killed this fattened calf. So holiness is earned by serving the Father's needs, and it doesn't celebrate with the Father at all. It's sort of my act, so I can feel good about me. And then here's the Father, holiness and the Father. He said to him, Son, you're always with me. All that is mine is yours. You haven't even wanted to avail yourself of time with me. You're busy. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. So here's what holiness looks like. The Father is the one that's really showing us what it's about. Holiness is about celebration. Celebrating, finding the lost. We saw that in verse 6 and 7 of the first story, the lost coin. Come and celebrate, I found my coin, big silver coin. Or the lost sheep. Hey, come and celebrate. The Bible says there is celebration in the presence of the angels when one sinner repents. Let me ask you, where is the presence of the angels? Who is in the presence of the angels? Who is before the angels celebrating? And they're walking, they're watching and cheering on. Who is the celebrator? Who's the party animal here? God! God, in the presence of the angels, is God. He's the party animal. That's holiness. It's having a heart for the lost, being turned in its affections toward a rescuing God. My father-in-law was involved in search and rescue in Vietnam. And if you know about search and rescue, it's not easy. He landed amphibious planes under fire, rescued pilots from the Air Force, brought them out of harm's way, and takes off under fire. On Alameda Island over here, when he was stationed there for a short while, there was a plane that skidded off the runway and into the water, into the bay. The cockpit was submerged. My father-in-law ran a number of yards, jumped in the water, opened the cockpit, got this guy out, and got a medal for his bravery. Search and rescue. Search and rescue is what God's about. Search and rescue is what holiness is about. It's not about preserve it over here, stay away from what we could be polluted by, but it's got a muscular view of infecting others with the greatness of God. It's not paranoid, fearful, pinched. It's gregarious. Hilarious and celebrative. Holiness is about being with the Father on His mission. I love Genesis 12, Genesis 22, where Abraham was called and then he was to offer Isaac. Remember, after each of those episodes, God says, I'm going to bless you so that you will be a blessing to all the nations of the world. That was God's original plan. In the original calling of the first Jew, Abraham, the first Jew. So the younger brother is not what holiness is about. The father is what holiness is all about. I love Tim Keller. He writes, Jesus' teaching consistently attracted the irreligious while offending the Bible-believing, the religious people of his day. However, in the main, our churches today do not have this effect. The kind of outsiders Jesus attracted are not attracted to contemporary churches, even our most avant-garde ones. We tend to draw conservative, button-down, moralistic people, the licentious and liberated, or the broken and marginal. Avoid church. That can only mean one thing. If the preaching of our ministers and the practice of our parishioners do not have the same effect on people that Jesus had, then we must not be declaring the same message that Jesus did. It may not happen on Sunday morning in this place. It may have to happen between Sundays, where we go in the rest of the week. That may be where we can infect people with conversation, with listening, with hanging out. Not avoiding, but getting into the mix and knowing that he who is with us is greater than he who is in the world. And yes, there are situations where we're tempted and we might fall, and an AA person may not want to be around alcohol. I recognize all that. But if it's not a temptation, we should be there. We should be there. That's what holiness is about. So, where do we go with this? The 2 Timothy passage reads, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house. By the way, holy implies set apart. But notice, useful for good work. What is God's good work? Search and rescue. That's God's good work. Holiness is about joining the search and rescue, jumping in and grabbing that guy out of the cockpit. That's what holiness is about. Little parenthesis, who's the prodigal in the story? Is it the younger brother? Do you know what the word prodigal means? Prodigal means, I've looked it up, and I didn't quote it. Prodigal means, spending money or resources freely and recklessly, wastefully and extravagantly. Having or giving something on a lavish scale. Having or giving something on a lavish scale. Wasteful. The son, younger son, he was prodigal? Okay. Older brother, was he a prodigal? Yeah, he wanted to be. Doing the same stuff. Could be a story of the prodigal son, meaning the older son. Or frankly, it could be about God. I mean, who's the wildly extravagant, especially with money, one in the story? Who's the one who's lavish with his resources? Crazy and wanton and reckless about stuff. God. He goes on search and rescue missions where people get killed and hurt and maimed. And it's risky, but God's going to do it because he's way into that. God is the prodigal. He's the reckless wacko in this story. So friends, I think what this means is we just got to get into loving people right where they are, learning how to pray for them, pursue them, partner with each other in that pursuit. Pray, partner, and start pursuing. And that's what church is about. This is a hospital where we rescue people and bring them in and heal them up. This isn't a monastery where we separate from the world and we're cloistered. This is about joining God in his approach to holiness. Are we all in? Come on, let's do it. Put your hand right in here. Who's in? Who's on the team? We're going to say, yay, God. Are you ready? Come on. There's room.
Yay, God!
God, we just admit our hearts are scared sometimes when we think of what it means to be pursuing people that are hard to be with, that have life practices and smells and other things that are offensive and troublesome. And sometimes it's a lot easier to just try to clean up our act and be really good and real moral and just hope that that's good enough. As long as we're moral than the next person. So there's a lot of skewed thinking about holiness in our own heads, Lord. We're grateful that it's a gift from you and that you are taking the lead in pursuing infecting all nations with your holiness. That's what the blood of Christ is about. And we're just asking that you would help us to be more prayerful and more partnering and more pursuing of people who need to know you. Help us not to be offended and afraid more than we need to be. And we'll just shake and in our boots but lean toward you in this process. Wherever any one of us is, Lord, in this trajectory, we're asking that you would just keep us going. Help us to remember we're a team and that you're the winner. Amen.
Thank you, Tom. We already talk about this through the trials. We're going to